Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Julie, and welcome back, everybody. We now, as promised, are going to let you listen in on what Rick Hahn had to say today when visiting with Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel. Before we do, I want to tell you, this hour on The Score is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Now, let's hear from the general manager of the Chicago White Sox along with our midday hosts.
It is 670 The Score, and we are joined right now by Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes here with you. Rick, congratulations on this remarkable deal. And can you please tell us about hiding behind an exhibit at FanFest while you're on the phone with Theo Epstein?
Yeah, I think they might want to set that up as a fan experience next year for people to pretend they're a GM hiding behind a booth or something. But what happened, I was there. We have this tradition in my family, which was foolishly started by me years ago when my kids were like 7 and 5 or something. And every year I'd take them to the All-Star game. And we always go to FanFest and do that thing. And it used to be, especially when I was assistant GM, a time where I could relax and be with the family and, you know, that do some work, but not, you know, at the height and pace that things have been over the last few years. So, unfortunately, the kids still want to do the tradition. And we went this year again to Miami. And Tuesday morning, late morning or so, Charlie, my 11-year-old, and I were at the FanFest and got a phone call from Theo. And knew that he was going to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down at that point, or very likely give me a thumbs up or thumbs down at that point on starting the deal with Jimenez and Cease, which was going to dictate a lot as to which direction we were going to go. And therefore, I took the call, but I had to essentially ditch my child into my Miami Convention Center and hide behind a Rawlings exhibit to talk to Theo to get that answer.
Why were the White Sox so interested in Jimenez and Cease?
They were essential to this package. They're the players that helped separate the Cubs from everything else that was on the table. In Eloy, we feel he is one of the most exciting young players in the game with one of the highest offensive ceilings of just about any position player prospect in the game. He's a potential middle-of-the-order bat with plus bat speed, a knack for barreling up the ball. So it's more than just the raw power that has been on display in recent years, but he's also a plus hitter. We feel he has the tools to become a solid defensive player on the corner in the outfield, and he fits in with what we're trying to build here. And in some ways, we equated it, you know, Kenny and I, when we were talking this thing through over the last couple of days, in some ways we equated it with Cease and Jimenez to getting Moncada and Kopech about a year earlier than we did in terms of where they are in their development. We view them both as having that type of potential upside.
Now, so in conversations with Theo, then other players had come up. Safe to assume that other players had been pushed towards you, some minor league, some major league?
You know, without getting into too great a specifics, yes, there was obviously still further work to be done on the deal after it became clear that there was a willingness to include Jimenez and Cease to start it. We spent a fair amount of time between that phone call on Tuesday after our group sort of caucused and decided how to proceed, you know, middle of the day, Tuesday afternoon, right up through probably about the 7th or 8th inning of the All-Star game, you know, texting back and forth and trying to come up with the final pieces of the deal. Ultimately, we were able to put those in place by the end of the game and spent yesterday going through various, you know, medical and administrative issues before ultimately finally agreeing on the deal late last night.
So I saw that you called the idea that Jerry Reinsdorf did not want to deal with the Cubs frankly laughable. So that was not an obstruction at any point along in this process?
Well, a little broader than that. What I call this frankly laughable is the notion that any of us, you know, Kenny, Jerry, myself, would at any point take an inferior deal that would put ourselves in a worse position for the long term simply because of emotion or something not related to baseball or not related to the players or building, you know, what we envision for this franchise being over an extended period of time once we get this thing all together. The idea that we would actually take less because we would go to somewhere else versus the Cubs when the Cubs clearly had the best offer, that I find laughable. That's just not how we're wired. It's not what we're charged to do. And if anyone feels like we should take an inferior baseball deal simply because of the emotion of dealing with the Cubs or the scrutiny that comes with dealing with the Cubs, then, you know, they've got the wrong people running this franchise.
Rick, this deal looks like it's great for both teams, but how hard was it to let go of a controlled pitcher who is 200 innings every year?
And not just that, Lawrence, it's extremely difficult is the answer. And it's not just that. It's not just what Q did for us and will do for the Cubs between the white lines. He's just a tremendous person, a tremendous individual, a great worker, a great role model and presence in our clubhouse, great for the young kids, and probably our hardest worker on the pitching staff. And it's very difficult to part with quality talent and quality people because it's so much of this is that clubhouse culture and what we're trying to build. And Q fits from a performance standpoint, and he fits from a clubhouse standpoint. But in the end, in terms of our timeline and what we're trying to build for an extended period, we felt this deal put us in a better position for the long term.
Will fans get a chance to see Yoan Moncada and maybe one of the young pitchers like Lucas Giolito, Renato Lopez, before this season is out?
Certainly it has that potential. You know, in terms of the pitching staff, there's really a two-pronged test for us. We'll promote someone once there's the opportunity for them to take the ball every fifth day without interruption, which obviously moving a guy like Quintana does potentially open up that opportunity. But more importantly, the second part is that they've done everything we've asked of them at the minor league level, and they're ready for that next stage of development, those next challenges that happen at the big league level. The second part's obviously far more important, even though we may have taken care of the first part here with this trade. Both Giolito and Lopez, the arrows are pointing up. They've done very good work over the last, Lopez over the bulk of the season, and Giolito over probably about his last 8 to 10 starts have been, the vast majority of them have been very good. So these are conversations that we'll have with our minor league staff and Buddy Bell and Chris Getz, and when the timing's right, we're certainly not averse to bringing them and giving them the ball every fifth day here in Chicago.
Rick, when you started down this road of the White Sox rebuilding, did you think that you would be able to kind of restock the entire system in what seems like 14 months?
I mean, that was the vision. That was the intent. And frankly, we're not done, in our opinion. We still have more work to do over these next couple of weeks and more work to be done up through the off season. But when we as a group talked about how we want this thing to unfold, we felt we had some premium assets in Chris and Adam and Jose, as well as some others, that it was important to hit properly on in terms of any trades to bring back premium talent. We feel like our last couple of drafts, we've added additional diverse talents to the organization, pitching and hitting, true baseball players who have some athletic ability. And we were aggressive internationally with the Luis Robert signing. So it's along the lines of what we drew up. You never know exactly how it's going to play out and what opportunities are going to be available to you, especially via trade, and what competition you're going to have in the draft or internationally. But we're certainly pleased with how the last 12 months or so have gone, going back to the last year's draft. Again, we got more work to do, but we were closer to where we want to be, not only versus where we were a year ago, but we feel we're closer to where we want to be today than where we were yesterday.
The react that we're getting, it's funny because people in all caps texting, thank you, Rick, thank you, Kenny, thank you, Jerry, to our text lines, which is something we don't ordinarily see around here, which is a good thing. And you and I talked about this about a week ago, about the reaction that White Sox fans have given you. So now, do you feel like you're at a point now where fan base, front office, everyone seems to be on board with the new direction and how you can try and turn this thing to the way you want it to go.
No, we've been thrilled with the fan reaction. I do think when we initially started down this path, we weren't quite sure what the reaction was going to be. We knew it was important for us to be as transparent as possible, to express where we were trying to get to and why we had to take these drastic steps to get there. And we're somewhat confident that the fans would get it and be supportive, but we weren't sure. And since we've started down this path, the fan response has been great. I do think an element of it, too, though, and a lot of credit deservedly should go to Ricky Renteria and the coaches, because they see the actual Major League product playing the game a little differently. And while our ultimate goals for 2017 in terms of winning a championship may not measure up to what we hope they will be in the future, I think White Sox fans have embraced, you know, the fight and the commitment and the fundamentally sound element to a lot of what Ricky and the coaches have going. And, you know, once some of these players that a lot of people are excited about in the minor leagues start coming to Chicago over the coming years and being integrated into that style of play, I think people are going to have even more reason to be excited.
In your time as GM, Rick, it feels like you had the similar goal, like what Kenny was doing in terms of trying and going for it every year. Then starting with the PV trade at kind of a rolling rebuild, let's get some prospects that are ready and that approach. And now here we are with a third different approach. Does it feel like that to you? It's such a tricky game to try and build. You have this approach now, and nobody knows if any of it works, but this feels clear-eyed and the most possible of all of them.
Well, we do like having the long-term vision and having each element of our operations, whether it's amateur scouting or international or the pro scouts who are scouting guys like Jimenez and Cease and the players we got today, all aligned towards the same goal and what we're trying to build. That is the mark of a good organization. Earlier iterations in terms of what we were trying to accomplish, part of that is based upon what you have on hand. Part of that is based upon the contractual situation you find yourself in and what available talent is available via trade or free agency at any given point in time. So when I first started, my first year with the Sox was 2001. Obviously, we had our own drought that we were trying to break, and thanks to Kenny's aggressiveness and desire to put that championship caliber team out on the field every year, we were able to break that drought in 2005. Certainly, as you grew from that club, there were other opportunities to win and other opportunities to sort of go all in, so to speak, on the current year that made sense based upon who we had on our roster, what our minor league system looked like, and what was available elsewhere. Now we have, as you point out, we've taken that reset. We've taken that step back, and I think this is going to help us there's still going to be tough days ahead. There's still going to be, you know, some growing pains along the way, certainly this year, next year, and then these young guys start coming up and hopefully developing into the type of players we think they're capable of being. And the fruits of all these labors and the fruit of, these potential short-term hardships, we think is going to pay off in a big way.
Rick, how do you expect the next couple of weeks for you to go?
Oh, I hope they're busy. I'm looking forward to, you know, being done with these interviews and getting back on the phone with other clubs and getting to work.
All right, we'll help you kick that part of your life off by kicking you off the phone lines. Thanks for the time. Congrats on the deal. And, boy, you got a lot of interested fans on your side now, that's for sure.
That's great. I appreciate the time, guys.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Cubs are getting not only a great pitcher who's going to, we expect, thrive for them, but also a tremendous clubhouse presence and a great person. It's not easy to let someone like that walk out the door. We do feel that we are we are closer to achieving our long-term goals than we were yesterday.
Those couple comments coming out of the break are Rick Hahn speaking at a press conference call today he had with media. And, of course, prior to our commercial break, you heard the entire interview today. Rick Hahn visiting with Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes on the Spiegel and Parkins show. And I think spelled it out pretty clearly what they were thinking. One of the things that I had referenced in our first hour tonight is that clearly the package that is the final deal was not the Cubs' initial offers. And I think in one thing he said, and I believe, I may not get this exactly right, but I won't be changing what he said. Once it became clear that Jimenez was going to be part of the deal, then we had to work out the rest. And so what that tells you is that the Cubs did make other offers, did try and work out a Quintana deal that did not include Eloy Jimenez. And Rick Hahn, the general manager of the White Sox, was going to have none of that. So big deal, big trade. Been a great day so far. 312-644-6767. Got another window here where we can get all of your thoughts and comments. Sox fans, Cubs fans, everybody listening out there, give us a call. 312-644-6767. The Chicago baseball game day schedule is presented by Gillette On Demand. And the schedule today for the Cubs and the White Sox was the big trade that brought Jose Quintana to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for Eloy Jimenez, the number five prospect in baseball, according to Baseball America, right-handed pitcher Dylan Cease, who's a top 70 prospect, and then two lesser prospects from the Cubs, first baseman Matt Rose and infielder Bryant Flete. The Sox get four prospects, two top prospects. The Cubs get Jose Quintana. If, in fact, any of you need legal advice from a reputable attorney, send the questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice. Look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legal advice. So we are going to be visiting with Daryl Von Skowen, who covers the White Sox for the Sun-Times, in about 15 minutes. Until then, we can take some of your phone calls at 312-644-6767. So dial us up. Let us know if you're a Cubs fan, a Sox fan. You don't have to tell us which one you're a fan of, but we are curious as to what your take on the trade is, depending on which side you are coming from. Again, 312-644-6767. In the meantime, I'm going to take a look in here at the text line, which I haven't spent a lot of time on so far this evening. The Score text line is brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. And the texts have been flying kind of fast and furious here, so let me scroll back a little while and then start to work more towards the front. We have straightened out that, in fact, the possibly the biggest Cubs Sox trade prior to this one was Sammy Sosa coming from the White Sox to the Cubs for George Bell and, you know, a few other folks. But that was the main part of the deal. Let's see here. We've got one caller. There's been some conversation coming. Actually, it's interesting. I think if I was keeping tabs, might be more White Sox fans who've said they would have preferred Schwarber than necessarily Cubs fans who've said they wish it was Schwarber instead of Jimenez. But one texter here was reacting to it, saying Schwarber makes no sense for the Sox. By the time they're ready to compete, his rookie contract will be up, plus he adds to win total in the meantime. Well, yeah, I think that that's going a bit too far. First of all, his rookie contract may be up, but Kyle Schwarber is controllable for somebody for, I believe, 5 more years. And so the Sox hope to be competing well before then. And the fact that you know, he's that good that he's going to win that many more games for him, I mean, what's his wins above replacement? I don't honestly know. So I can't really agree with that. Kyle Schwarber would have made great sense, too. And one of the reasons we had a couple unhappy Sox fans call, not unhappy, but Sox fans who might have been happier with Schwarber than Jimenez, as they make the point, Schwarber has already proven that he can be a difference maker at the major league level. Eloy Jimenez remains a top prospect, but nonetheless a kid who has never gotten close to even AAA yet. I don't believe, I don't even think AA. I think he's in high A ball right now. Maybe he's in AA. But one of the top prospects in baseball, so looking good for the Sox. Let's see some of the other things that folks were talking about here. This one says, this is obviously coming from a Cubs fan, if they, meaning the Cubs, were willing to trade Eloy Jimenez, does that mean they are pleased with Happ and Almora for the future? Well, I don't know how you wouldn't be pleased with what you've seen from Ian Happ and Albert Almora Jr. so far this year. I think the concern or the question about Almora is, why are they unwilling to take a chance on putting him in the lineup every day? And you know, I think what you've seen so far has been promising, but you'd like to see more consistent at bats and more time in the lineup for Almora. Ian Happ, you know, a guy can play four positions, maybe five. He's obviously got tremendous big league power. He looks like he will hit for average as well. He's shown flashes on defense, although his defense has not been consistently good. So I have to believe that the Cubs are very pleased with Almora and Happ. But you got to remember, it's not just Almora and Happ. I mean, you've got Almora, Happ, Schwarber. Regardless of what you think about Jason Heyward, he's going to be here for five more years because, hey, I happen to like Jason Heyward. I love having, you know, one of the best defensive outfielders in baseball out there in right field. And beyond that, he was hitting better before the hand injury. Career stats suggest he will hit much better than he did last year. But beyond all of that, you're not going to be able to trade that contract because if he doesn't play better than he did last year, who's going to take that contract off your hands? And you're not going to want to give them away and eat any of it. So there are a whole lot of long-term impediments to the Cubs' top prospect being an outfielder, and I think that's why Jimenez got added into the trade. Eric is in Columbia, Missouri. Eric, I want you to hold on for just about a minute and a half. We're going to get an update studio with Julie DeCaro, and on the other side, we're going to head to Missouri, where the University of Missouri is, and visit with Eric. That's next, but first, let's get this scoreboard update. Julie, thank you very much. I am Hub Arkish, going to be with you until 10 o'clock this evening, at which time I will hand it off to Julie DeCaro, who will take you up to midnight. Of course, grab her overnight tomorrow morning. Molly and Hanley Lawrence will be sitting in with Matt Spiegel again from 9 to 1. Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff from 1 to 6. The best sports talk in town 24-7 right here at 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Right now, we're going to head about 420 miles southwest to Columbia, Missouri. I know that distance to be a fact because I put two of my kids through the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri. And Eric, I got to ask, any chance you're a student down there?
No, I moved down here about 23 years ago after I got out of school from Platteville, went to school up in Platteville.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's another one of my favorite college towns. There you go.
So, well, all right.
What do you do in Columbia? Are you teaching down there or what are you doing?
No, I'm a software developer by day and do some jingle production stuff on the side.
Cool.
In the evenings.
All right. And your thoughts, we're talking, I mean, obviously you can talk New England Patriots if you want, but we've been talking a lot of Cubs and Sox today, and I'm guessing that is why you're calling us.
Yeah, I'm a diehard Cub fan and moved down here 20 years ago, as I said, living in the heart of Cardinal country. So from my perspective, I think it's a win-win-win. I think it's a win for both teams, but I think it's a win for the city of Chicago, too, to make the rivalry better. One of the things I've harped on with some of my Cardinal friends and non-friends down here, fans who seem to revel in the, you know, the Cubs' failures, is that, you know, now that the Cubs are better, it's only better for the rivalry. It's better for baseball. And in Chicago, if that happens, the energy in the city, you know, a couple of years down the road, the potential of them playing in the World Series, I think that's great for the city, whether you like the other team or not.
Yeah, Eric, I thank you. And let me ask you on that last point, because this is one, there are a lot, mainly younger people, who like to talk about being fans of both teams. Now, I'm probably too old for my own good, but I was raised to believe a doubleheader was when the Cubs won and the Sox lost. Now, I did eventually become an adult, and I stopped cheering against the White Sox. I have friends who are Sox fans. I don't want to see them lose. But I don't buy the stuff that, you know, if you're a Chicago baseball fan, you should pull for both teams. I think the idea of the rivalry is part of what makes it so much fun. I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I grew up the same way. I mean, I'm not much younger than you probably, and grew up in Northern Illinois and near DeKalb. So, yeah, I grew up hating the Sox and probably rooted against them when they were in the World Series, you know, most recently. But I think, you know, like I said, you grow up a little bit. And also, I think we can't discount the fact of winning the World Series last year and how that kind of changed our internal mindset. So it's probably like the desperation's gone now, so we're taking everything from a different perspective. That could have something to do with it, too.
Eric, I thank you much for the call. I thank you for hanging out. We're going to squeeze in one more before we have to get away to a break again here. Jason is in Des Plaines. Jason, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, this is a great deal for the Cubs. Honestly, I mean, they have Quintana under control for the next 3.5 years. This really solidifies their rotation. You can, you know, mix and match. I know Hendricks is out, but he'll be back. Arrieta, And this really could, you know, push Lackey out of the rotation. In my opinion, Eddie Butler has done a decent job to be a fifth starter. And I don't know if they want to eat that contract with Lackey, but if you match up Lester, Arrieta, Quintana, and Hendricks will become your fourth, you know, in a series, if you think about it. And that's a great deal. And, you know, with the Sox, they got some good return pieces, but it's going to take at least two to three years for those guys to come up and produce.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a win-win for both teams, I think. And this should, I would say, kind of catapult them. And I think Quintana coming to the National League, having to face the pitcher and the eighth place hitter, this is a great deal. Great deal. You don't have to give up any of the, you know, MLB players. Great move by Theo. And I don't think he's done yet. I think there might be one or two more moves that might happen before the end of the trade deadline, depending on how they play, you know, in the next two weeks or so.
Jason, all right, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I think Jason makes some good points. He actually did touch on one thing. We'll talk about this a little later. We got plenty of time. I'm with you until 10, but I'm not sure I would rank the Cubs starters quite in the order that Jason did based on the way they're pitching right now. And I would not be in too big of a hurry to say goodbye to John Lackey. I think there's a chance he may not be here or be a factor by season end, but we're rushing that a little bit when you look at some of the injuries they've had to that starting five. The Chicago Baseball Game Day schedule is presented by ADT, and today's schedule has been all about the big trade. Both teams off the final day of the four-day All-Star break. Cubs will be in Baltimore tomorrow evening. The White Sox will play here at home. That is today's Chicago baseball schedule brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. We take a quick commercial break here. Daryl Von Skowen, who covers the White Sox for the Sun-Times, is up next. We will get another Southside perspective right after these quick commercial words.
That's just not how Jerry's wired, not how Kenny's wired, I'm wired, or anyone within the organization. If people really felt we would take, or if we really felt motivated to take an inferior baseball deal, to not put this organization in the best possible spot that we can to win multiple championships simply because of emotion, then we'd be the wrong people running this club.
That's Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, visiting with us here earlier today on The Score. I am Hub Arker, sitting in tonight for Lawrence Holmes. We had set up a great show with a little football, a little hockey, a little basketball, a little baseball, and then about 10 o'clock, 10:15 this morning, everything kind of blew up, and we said, no, this is a baseball night, and are very fortunate to have been able to track down the Chicago White Sox beat reporter for the Sun-Times, Daryl Von Skowen. And Daryl, I appreciate you taking time out for us tonight. I guess your All-Star break ended about 36 hours early, huh?
Yeah, it sure did. Actually, a surprise, even though we knew that Quintana was on the block and it began to feel like something was imminent. Nobody really saw it coming with the Cubs. And, you know, I think we know this was a good deal for both sides of town.
You know, Daryl, Rick Hahn, I've heard the interview a couple times now, and I'm not trying to parse anything, but you try and pick out the parts that are clear. And I think he said pretty clearly that the deal wasn't going to happen without Eloy Jimenez. There has been some debate about, gee, maybe the Sox should have gotten a major leaguer. Some folks are thinking Kyle Schwarber would have been a good fit. But Hahn has said Eloy Jimenez and the ability to get Dylan Cease as well was clearly the key to making this deal happen.
Yeah, they definitely wanted two, you know, top level prospects. Even though they're both, you know, Class A players at this point, you know, Jimenez, as you know, number five or number eight ranked in all of minor league baseball. excellent hitter, a lot of upside, power bat. Also, you know, projects to be a pretty good contact hitter as well. So. The Sox have placed a little bit of an emphasis on, you know, on improving that lineup, you know, in the draft and drafting Berger and a couple other guys who are just kind of pure hitters. And Jimenez fits that mold. And Cease, you know, you can never, you know, the old adage is you never have enough pitching, and that pitching is still the foundation of, you know, the winning roster. You know, that's why they, you know, they went for the pitcher as well. And they did the same in the, you know, in the Eaton and Sale trades too. Was you know, they got Moncada in that bunch. It was also heavy on pitching as well.
You know, Darryl, it's really kind of stunning. The White Sox did not formally step up and say we're doing a complete rebuild until probably, what, 8-9 months ago with the Sale and Eaton trades. And when you look at what they've accomplished in turning over that system in just these three deals, plus a couple of their more recent very high picks, they've gone from one of the most barren systems in baseball to arguably the best. Are you at all surprised? Any thoughts on how quickly they've been able to get this done?
Well, it's impressive to the extent that they've been able to convert. And, you know, granted, now all these guys are prospects. And, you know, whereas the Cubs know exactly what they're getting in Quintana, you know, the White Sox don't know exactly what they're getting in these prospects. Same could be said, you know, until these guys wear major league uniforms and get out and produce what they're getting. You know, in the deals, but you know, they're going for mass. They're going for you know, numbers and big numbers and, you know, just the number of players. So they know they're not going to convert on all of them. You play the percentages, and you know, it figures that enough of them would pan out that this would work. They've had a you know, an issue with organizational depth for some time now. And it, you know, it's the reason why when they had Sale, when they had Quintana, when they had Eaton, and some other key players like Jose Abreu on the roster, they weren't able to win. There just wasn't enough depth on the roster. There wasn't enough in the farm system to, you know, to supplement that. So that's why they're doing what they're doing. So far, so good. It all looks good on paper. You know, Rick and, you know, the front office can seemingly do no wrong now. The fan base is totally behind it, you know, maybe even more so than some might have anticipated. It seems like there's very few people who are against what they're doing now. So, you know, what it does do, it creates some, you know, some enthusiasm, a little bit of optimism, something to for fans to be, you know, excited about, even though it's not going to happen, certainly not this year, probably not next year. But, you know, some pieces are being put in place there where you can see some good things happening down the road.
You know, Darryl, it's interesting to me. I talked at the top of our visit about you having an all-star break cut short by about 36 hours. Darryl Van Scowen, who is good enough to visit with us, is the beat reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. I guess, you know, we've known for a couple of days, but you also found out this morning officially that you got new bosses over at the Sun-Times, too. So I'm sure it's been a very hectic time for you. I want to get back to the Sox in a second, but is there anything you know or you can tell us about what's going on with the Sun-Times?
Yeah, new owners. We have not been sold to the Tribune, so I would, you know, see that as a good thing. You know, it's a... it's an industry that's trying to find its niche and struggling in many ways. But, you know, I've been at the Sun-Times since 1987, and there's been, you know, several different ownerships and several times where things look bleak, and we just managed to survive. We have a hardworking staff, both on the news side and in sports. And, you know, it's good to know that we should be around yet for a little while.
Well, I know I, for one, certainly wish you guys the best. I know most of our audience does. It's great still being one of the few two newspaper towns around and two great sports sections, and happy to hear that you guys are getting a fresh start. Now, to take you back to the White Sox for another couple minutes, I had a caller a little while ago who was very anxious to see all these kids come up now. You know, you're going to lose anyway. Why not play? Let them learn how to play up here. There are very good reasons for not wanting to, quote, rush these prospects. And as somebody who, as you just said, has been on the beat for 30 years now, maybe you could explain to some of our listeners why, no matter how good a prospect these kids are, it's important to let them take their time in the minors first.
Yeah, there's a, I don't want to say drastic, but there's a marked difference in, you know, the level of play, the speed of the game between AAA and the major leagues. Yoan Moncada was called up last year by Boston in September, and you know, he struggled mightily, you know. And you know, any of these kids who come up now will tell you that it's just you know, it's a tougher game at the major league level. And what the White Sox want, what any major league team wants when they bring a guy up, is to make sure that he's ready and that he has a good chance to succeed, you know. So the Sox in the past have been quick to rush players up sooner than other teams, I would say, in general. You know, they may have brought up Carson Fulmer last year too soon. That it's probably would be debated by the front office. But, I think this year, I think, you know, as part of this new plan, this new vision, I think of being very cautious, very patient. And, you know, as much as the fans want to see guys like Moncada and some of these pitchers, and, you know, there's a couple of guys that are probably ready. And, I mean, Giolito Lopez, the two AAA pitchers that they acquired from the Nats, both pitched in the major leagues last year. So it's, you know, it's not like they would be completely in over their heads. They can, I'm sure they could come up and have some level of success, but there's no reason to rush them. There's also other issues involved, but the big thing is that when they get up here, they succeed. And you know, there's no need to win now. In fact, if they lose now, you know, that probably works better towards their draft interest next year anyway.
Darryl, Avisail Garcia hopefully is the player that we're seeing this year and not the young man who struggled the last couple of years. Tim Anderson off to a really good start last year. He's struggling now. Matt Davidson, you got the power stroke, but maybe not the complete package. When the Cubs did this rebuild 4 or 5 years ago, we thought we knew that the two young people who were going to be here when they were ready were Anthony Rizzo and Starlin Castro. Of course, Castro ended up moving on in part because their prospects came so quickly. Of the Sox team that is on the field right now, how many of these kids, which kids do you think will still be here when they're ready to compete?
Well, they believe Tim Anderson is a centerpiece. They signed him to a $25 million extension during spring training before they had to, and they believe Carlos Rodon, a number 3 overall pick in the draft, is a future front end of the rotation kind of guy. You know, Garcia, I don't know. He's had a very nice first half. Obviously he became an all-star, and but you know, he went in the all-star game with a 1-for-30 slump, so it'll be interesting to see how he how he bounces back. He does seem like a different player. He's made very nice strides. He's working harder. He has huge talent, huge ability. You know, he might in fact be part of this this whole project. I'm sure they're still in the process of determining that, evaluating that, you know, as we speak. We pointed out, we talked about, you know, guys coming up too soon and players, you know, young players struggling at this level. Anderson last year came up and played really well at shortstop, played well defensively. His on-base percentage was a little down. He doesn't walk much, but hit for nice average. I think 9 home runs and, you know, the better part of a half a season. But he's having a rough go of it this year. He's leading the major league shortstops and errors this year. He's not really hitting all that well. So it just goes to show you that, it's not an exact science. You don't know for sure, and that it's a difficult game. So, at this point, though, to answer your question, I think it's Anderson and Rodon and perhaps Javi Garcia. But position player-wise, you know, that's probably about it, save for, you know, a couple of guys who might project as utility type players.
Well, that actually puts him a pitcher ahead of the Cubs, so hopefully the Sox will get to where the Cubs ended up. Darryl, I'm sorry your All-Star break got cut short by a day and a half, but congratulations on the good news this morning as far as the paper, and we appreciate you taking time out of your Thursday night for us tonight. That is Darryl Van Scowen, who you can obviously read about the Chicago White Sox, the Chicago Sun-Times. You can also follow him on Twitter at @CST_SoxVan. We are going to take a quick commercial break here. Going to get you a scoreboard update. And then, as promised, to kick off the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to replay our visit, or not our visit, but Dan Bernstein and Jason Goss' visit this afternoon with Jed Hoyer, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs. We will play that for you in its entirety in just a couple moments, so stay right where you are. We're back in just a minute right here at 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.